You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Name-calling, punching back, finger-pointing, it's what we've come to expect out of Washington. U.S. Representatives Fred Upton and Debbie Dingell are calling for a return to civility and collegiality at the nation's capital and, more broadly, in America. I spoke with Dingell and Upton this morning ahead of their appearance at the Detroit Economic Club. Here's our conversation. So you're both here today to speak to the Detroit Economic Club. You've got Southwest Michigan, Southeast Michigan, Republican, Democrat. What is your mission in being here today?
Well, this is actually the third time that Debbie and I have joined together to talk about civility and bipartisanship in Michigan this year. We did the Mackinac Chamber of Commerce annual meeting. We did an event at Ford School in Michigan. They asked us to come here. But the bottom line for us has always been we want to work together to get things done. Hey, we have a divided government today. We got a Democratic House, a Republican Senate, and a Republican president. The only way you can get a bill enacted into law to do anything, whether it's pass a budget, appropriation bill, pipeline safety, PFAS, which is an issue here, Great Lakes, it has to be bipartisan. And if you stay in your own corner, nothing gets done. And that's not who we are about or who we want to be.
And I know in that op-ed that the two of you wrote, Congressman Dingell, you wrote, a vibrant republic depends on vigorous debate. But we've got this nation where public debate looks like people standing in their silos, listening to their cable networks, reading posts in their social media, and knowing that they're right and the other side isn't. What are we doing wrong as a society?
Well, I think we have to work very hard not to do that. We've got to work very hard to listen to each other, to understand we have different life experiences, different perspectives. It's one of the reasons I like my district so much, because you all are based in Ann Arbor, and Ann Arbor's got very strong feelings on a number of issues. But you go through my district, and you've got Dearborn, which is Ford Motor Company headquarters, the largest population of Muslims. And downriver, you've got auto workers that are on the picket line right now. They have different life experiences, different perspectives, but they all love this country. They're all Americans. And we got to talk to each other. We got to hear each other. We've got to understand perspectives.
And what about the 6th District?
Well, my district is very diverse as well. Whether it be a blend of urban and rural, whether it be big businesses like a Pfizer, a Stryker, a Whirlpool, even our ag sector is very diverse. So, you know, we have the number one and two blueberry producing counties in the nation. But we've got livestock. I've got a county that, as we say, has 10 times more hogs than people. We've got a county with, it's got maybe 100 yards of a four-lane road, all told. And, you know, the ethnicity is there, from Germans to Lithuanians to African Americans to Muslim. I mean, it is who we are. It is our country. And, you know, as I have seen quite a bit, people don't really care if you have an R or a D for Republican or Democrat next to your name. They just want the job done. You know, they're soccer moms. They care about the economy. They care about Michigan. They care about the Great Lakes. If there's one really unifying thing, it's whether you live on one of the lakes or not, you care about the Great Lakes in a major way. So that's who I is.
Well, as we sit here speaking, it has been exactly 2 weeks since September 18th when the Washington Post reported that the president was the focus of this whistleblower complaint. We now have an impeachment inquiry going on in the House with new revelations each day. How would you describe this moment in our nation's history?
Well, you know, I was asked that a little bit earlier this morning in another forum, and we are not single-issue people or a Congress. We have to be ready for anything. And if there's one fault about this job, it's you don't have really any time to smell the roses when you get an issue that you really work hard on to get it done, because that plate is just so full. This is now another issue that is on our plate. And although I did not support the impeachment inquiry this last week, I did support, as did every member of Congress, Republican and Democrat, the release of the notes of the transcript that came out. And it, you know, there are a lot of questions for a lot of different people, and I'm not one to reach a conclusion at this point. There's got to be a lot of answers. It's going to take some time to figure out what not only the questions are, but to hear from the right people in terms of where things are. And And we'll see what happens at the end of the day.
So do you think what the president did, as you read that, deserves further investigation?
Well, I'll take it. I watched just a little bit of the oversight subcommittee hearing, just because, and I liked what Mike Turner, my Republican colleague from Ohio, said publicly. His statement was along the lines, and I'm paraphrasing here, was, this is not okay. And it, you know, the questions need to be answered, and it's going to take some time to go through it. And, you know, it's, we have so many other issues to deal with as well that the country wants us to work on. I mean, we've just started a new fiscal year. We passed yet another continuing resolution. These things sort of happen. The Senate hasn't passed any of their appropriation bills. We have bills that are in conference, our defense authorization bill, military pay, all those different things that are a normal day for us, as it, let alone our committee work. You know, I'm the top Republican on the Energy Subcommittee, so, and I serve on the Health Subcommittee. So, and we have, you know, each of us 750,000 constituents all wanting, you know, certain things, and travel back and forth. I mean, it's a crazy, and families. You know, I got a daughter who's pregnant for the first time, and a great wife. And I mean, there are so many things that you have to juggle to try and do your job well.
Do you feel you're at a point where you can support the impeachment inquiry?
It's too early to judge. It really is. We had a vote last week to table it. I voted with all my – it was a partisan vote. But, it, you know, there are a lot of questions that are legitimate that we all going to want answers to.
And, Congressman, this moment in the nation's history, what is this to you?
You know, I've been very concerned and have been very clear about that over the last few months, especially I had a lot of people, Tom Steyer, MoveOn.org, and I didn't like the direction of what I was seeing, but was very worried about how divided this country is, because I think we need to be concerned about that. And the Mueller report itself, which nobody talks about, says that Russia is trying to divide us as a country. But this became very crystal to me, and this to me is not about partisanship in any way. When it became public that a whistleblower had filed a complaint, that President Trump appointed Inspector General investigated the whistleblower's report, found it to be credible, found it to be urgent and a potential danger to our national security, and that the acting director of Homeland Security was also concerned about it, my job is to protect the national security of this country and to protect the Constitution. I take an oath to do that. We have to follow the rule of law. That is what keeps this democracy together. And nobody is above the rule of the law. So we are now investigating facts that have been put forward. 300 senior national security officials of both parties have said that there's a pattern of corruption that's endangering our national security. I don't know how much more serious this gets. And it's sad, but I want the facts. We've got to follow the facts.
The president and his supporters say that he is being attacked by journalists and by Democrats who are still angry over his win in 2016. What do you say to Americans, to people in your district who stand by the president and believe this?
I talk to them a lot, as you know, and I tell them exactly what I just told you. It's one of the reasons that I was willing to take so much anger and pressure this summer, because I was worried about how divided we were. But these are facts. This is a inspector general appointed by this president giving us facts. There'll be classified briefings that'll occur this week. We also need to make sure that we're protecting this whistleblower. The whistleblower law, Senator Grassley, Republican from Iowa today, came out concerned about what's happening to this whistleblower. And I think we have to make as much public as we can. So I think the American people understand this. They understand that an inspector general has said something's happened that's endangering our national security, that we need to, as much as we can release, to have people understand it's very important, because we need to try to keep people together as we are investigating.
And Congressman, to people who say, I can't understand how Republicans are silent in the face of what many people feel is corrupt and alarming behavior, what do you say to those people about their concerns?
Well, you know, it's actually nice to get out of Washington for these 2 weeks, and because it is almost you know, the story broke, as you said, about 2 weeks ago, and it seems like there's new developments every hour. I mean, just today, Debbie and I are doing, getting ready for the Economic Club. We're doing a number of different media events like this one, and it seems like at every stop, there's something new that's coming out. So, you know, and you know, the process is, you know, there's no joy in Mudville about this, and I say that from Democratic friends and Republicans as well. And I was one that actually went through the Clinton impeachment issue. I was in Congress back in the 90s. And I was reminded, looking back, how consuming it was. And I'm, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I wasn't on the committee. I went to read the Star report. I remember going to the Ford building to look. And that was before cell phone camera. You couldn't do that anyway. You couldn't even take notes to look at it. And I was one that did not vote for all of the items of impeachment. There were four counts of impeachment. I was the only Michigan Republican not to vote for all four, as I recall. And this is going to take time. I mean, just every day there's new questions. There's new statements. Chuck Grassley, a friend, you know, former House colleague, though I didn't serve with him, way before he was in the Senate, different members. I mean, there's going to be a lot of air in that balloon as we look at all the issues, frankly, we have to deal with. So I don't know that anyone is really silent. This is not an issue that you can go hide in the corner on.
Opinion polls show, as you well know, public approval of Congress is at an historic low. Gallup poll in June, just to point out, found 20%, only 20% of Americans approve of the job Congress is doing, 75% disapprove, although approval for you as individuals is much higher than for Congress as
a
whole.
Thank goodness.
You got to go back 10 years to find a single Gallup poll where Congress approval rating was at 30% or above. You both have long histories of being involved with the House. What do you think has broken down between Congress and the American people?
You know, I think President Trump, I've said this many times, got elected because people were tired of partisan bickering. When I'm working my district, which I do a lot, and I'm out there, I hear people wanting us to do something about lowering the cost of prescription drugs. I hear my UAW members on the picket line talking about the jobs we shipped overseas and that are never coming back because of bad trade deals. Fred talked about the Great Lakes earlier. I think they don't see us working on the issues that matter to them or making a difference. And we got to come together and find that common ground that is going to impact the lives of everyday working Americans across this country. Who they don't want a lot. They want to be able to have a job, to make enough money, to live in a safe neighborhood, put food on the table, be able to afford to go to the doctor when they need to, take their medicine, educate their kids, and have a safe and secure retirement. Those are issues we stopped talking about.
You know, I think there's a perception, in large part the media is responsible for this because that's where people get their news and that's what they see Washington does. But there's a perception that things really are absolutely partisan. They see the hardcores on both sides, sometimes screaming at each other, and on the evening shows as well, cable news networks on both sides. And as I look at my area, people don't really care. They could give, you know, I won't say it on the air, they could give a damn about someone having an R or a D next to their name. They just want the job done. They don't think of their neighbors as Republicans or Democrats. They think about them as their son or daughter's on the soccer team, or they're going together to go work at the business. They're going to go have coffee. They're running, jogging. I mean, they're doing all these family activities, and it's not partisan. And they turn on the news, and they see partisanship. That's why I think I've done well you know, the different appearances that I do. And that's, frankly, what my voters and constituents want us to do. And there are a lot of good ideas on both sides of the aisle. And with a divided government, if you're going to get something done, you darn well better work with both sides.
Well, let's talk about, like, how do you fix this? What is more than a plea? What are some concrete steps that you feel, particularly working on the Hill, that could break us out of this tribal logjam we're in? How do we do this?
Well, I think gerrymandering has contributed to it. My district, which is a solid Dem district, but at least has different perspectives, so you're forced to listen to them. But I think people running in more competitive districts will partially address that. But I think everybody's got to become more involved. I think that democracy thrives when people are engaged and involved. I do see people more engaged than I've seen them in a number of years, but it's not just up to us. It's up to everybody to be engaged in the process and to tell their legislators that they want to see them actually get something done.
Engaged beyond tweeting, retweeting, Facebook posting.
Well, I think social media is the worst thing that's happened to us. I think it is a source of bullying. I think it is a source of negative rhetoric. It is changing the tone and creating divisive rhetoric that's contributing to absolutely nothing in this country, and is also keeping people from building relationships and trust, which also helps people get things done.
Just to follow up on that quickly, so we worked as a delegation on protecting the Great Lakes. As part of that is fighting the Asian carp, which even a fourth grader usually understands, at least on my side of the state, but I know over here as well. But even when you do that, the social media goes after you. It's like, I mean, you got to... You don't really look at it if you're one of us in a lot of ways. But to answer the question, though.
The how?
Yeah,
how do we do it?
So you got to have people, men and women, that are committed to network and to really establish a trust and a friendship with each other. And I'm part, and Debbie is too, I'm actually one of the vice chairs of a group called Problem Solvers. It's a bipartisan group, 48 members. We meet weekly. Talk about issues where we can work together. And we've had a good number of successes. We were the ones responsible for getting us out of that doggone government shutdown. We met with the president and the vice president in the Situation Room and told them what we thought, where we could go, and that ended up being the package. We were the ones helping to get the money for the border. We went down there to Texas, and we saw that it is a crisis down there. And what is it that we can do to make sure that it's not just Border Patrol people down there?
How many members?
There's 16. There's 48 members in our group, so it's equally divided. And we meet for an hour every single week. We're actually going to meet even during this break. But at the end of the day, you got to work together, and that's what our group is all about.
So how do you take that fraction of the members of the House and expand feeling?
So remember, the House is really pretty narrowly divided. So one of the things that we did at the beginning of this legislative year was, and we told both, had the Republicans won the majority, would have been the same thing on our side, we successfully changed the rules of the House to really foster more bipartisanship with sort of inside the baseball rules. But at the end of the day, they are beginning to work. And our group on the Democratic side told Speaker Pelosi that they were not going to support her for Speaker unless she agreed to the rules changes. And we had the same on the Republican side. We told Kevin McCarthy weeks before the election that if we kept control, we Republicans were going to hold our vote back as well until he agreed to the changes. Speaker Pelosi did. We've used those changes in a variety of different ways to really see the beginning of what I hope will be a long-term relationship on more bipartisanship.
I think people want to see us get things done. I think they're tired of government not working for them.
And that was Representative Fred Upton, Republican from the 6th District of Michigan, and Representative Debbie Dingell, Democrat from the 12th. Thank you both very much for speaking with us on Stateside.
Thank you.
Thanks.